I'm Kyle Milan, and after 20 years in manufacturing, nobody knows more than me about industrial marketing and technical sales.
Today we're talking about marketing automation, topic that unfortunately I spend way too much time inside these walls talking about because we are knee-deep in marketing automation. If you guys are new to the channel, be sure to follow me on LinkedIn. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications. If you guys are all about industrial marketing, industrial sales, this is the place to be. Go over to the YouTube channel, just search my name, hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications. We got over 1,000 videos probably at this point, right, guys? Yep, team says yes. They're just nodding their head. Over 1,000 videos right now on YouTube just talking about industrial sales, industrial marketing, how to stand out, all the different services that we offer. We are experts in the space. Go ahead and Google search it. Who shows up first? We do at MFG Tribe because we are the best. First thing with industrial marketing automation CRM systems is going to be you have to pick a system. If you guys currently have a system, put it in the comment section below and tell me what that system is so maybe we can talk about it a little bit further. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day what the system is. We're a HubSpot marketing partner. We're almost at platinum status all within 12 months. I've used Infusionsoft, which is now Keap. We've got Salesforce, which really isn't like marketing automation because you have to use Marketo. We use that all the time. Office, Microsoft Dynamics 365. Again, not really the best out there. We've used it because our industrial and manufacturing companies that we work with, our customers, they have all different types of systems, whether it's Zoho, HubSpot, Marketo, Keap, all of the above. We've worked with on a daily basis. Some we love, some we hate, and most of the time we don't get a decision in. So if you guys are currently using a system, put it in the comment section below and let's see what you guys are up to. So if your CRM is part of your ERP, I have yet to find one that is as good as even like a free system out there. It's great for connecting who you're doing business with in your ERP to let's now market to these contacts, but the problem is it doesn't usually have the force behind it and all the automation. It's like if they're good at an ERP system, they're not going to be the best when it comes to a CRM or from marketing automation platform. So unfortunately, in your situation, you probably don't have the best tools, but at least you have something to organize everything together. But the key is you have to pick a system. Salesforce is great as an enterprise solution, in my opinion, because you can't tie it into straight email marketing. I think that's where HubSpot takes the cake. Unless you have 100 salespeople, 50, 100, 150 salespeople as an enterprise, Salesforce really isn't the best solution. This is just one man's opinion. You guys can disagree. I know from a CRM system, I know from marketing automation, if you're swimming in the Kool-Aid of the system you have and you're diehard with that, I totally get it and respect it. If you're like, no, dude, Salesforce is the best system out there. It's what it connects to from a marketing standpoint. That's usually where the stuff falls apart. Marketo is extremely expensive, not the best system to use. But fortunately, Salesforce has a direct integration with HubSpot. And you can talk back and forth. We have a major client of ours that has that integration. We spend a lot of time making sure that the two systems are updated so that marketing brings in stuff, goes over to Salesforce, sales team at that client, then takes care of things. The communication is back and forth. So it's great if they integrate. So if you are a Salesforce user, that's the system that you have. That's what ownership, upper management said. We are a Salesforce house. Perfectly fine. You can still use something like HubSpot for marketing automation. So that's kind of step one is pick the system. Now I'm going to put this into buckets. So number two is going to be, we're going to look at the buckets for marketing automation. Buckets. Bucket number one is going to be outreach. So this does not matter what type of outreach it is. They could be cold people. They could be warm people. They could be anything, but you want to look at your initial outreach. How are you guys going to get people into your system? What are you going to do with them once they get there? What are the campaigns like? Are you doing 3 emails over 3 months? Are you doing 5 emails over 5 weeks? Are you doing 5 emails over 6 months? You have to have some sort of plan in place to handle the different type of people that you want to reach out to. The easiest way to do it is everyone cold needs some sort of pillar program, right? Some pillar marketing automation workflow, depending on the system that you guys are using. Say, I want to be able to have some pillar campaigns, and it depends on the system you're using with the nomenclature. So let me just stick with HubSpot. HubSpot calls them workflows. A campaign is not what the automation would be, but you just want like if I have someone cold, does not matter where they came from, but they are cold. Does not matter if it's a trade show lead, if it's somebody that you pulled from a list. How it got there at this point does not matter. We're just talking about setting up the pillars. You have to have a cold outreach pillar. This person doesn't know much about you at all. You need to educate them. You need to provide them with value. You have a pillar campaign. That's step one, cold outreach pillar. The next one's going to be a warm outreach pillar. These are people that maybe they visit your website. Maybe you've had some engagement with them. Now, if you're doing trade show stuff, that would be a separate pillar. So if you go to FabTech, IMTS, NPE, like any trade show out there, PAC Expo, you can have a separate campaign for that. People that you meet at that trade show, you then want to have relevant content. So you want to put them into that workflow for that specific trade show. So that way you can be relevant to them. Hey, great talking with you guys. I saw you guys at this trade show. Great. Thanks for stopping by the booth. Would love to have a deeper conversation, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to have these things set up before you go through and start marketing it. Because what's going to happen is if you don't have everything set up, you're going to have these cold contacts. And I'm guilty of this too here at MFG Tribe, because our marketing has been up and down all over the place over the last 8 years. You get cold contacts and you bring them in. What are you going to do with them? What's the first step? The first step is to do some sort of outreach. Now, the copy can change based on maybe the time of the year. Maybe you have a campaign specifically for Q4 because it's relevant to you. Q1, halfway through the year. You can set up all of your micro campaigns, but you have to collectively as a team say, all right, if we have a cold contact, a name on a piece of paper, a lead, and we want to put them into a workflow, what does that look like? And build that out. Same thing with somebody that is warm. A warm person comes in. Let's leave trade shows out of it because that would be its own campaign. A warm person comes in. What are we going to do with them? Who do the emails come from? What does the copy look like? What's the frequency? What type of links are we sending? Are we going to track those links? Are we going to make sure that we're scoring everything properly? So you have to look at it and say, with outreach, you've got cold and warm, and then you've got the hot people. What the hot people that come in, they clicked a link, they downloaded a book, they downloaded a guide, they did something that makes them quote unquote hot. What are you going to do with them? Again, sit down with your team, figure out what is the cadence, what is the frequency, what do you want to send them, and build that out. The other bucket, which is like, this is kind of step one, figuring out the outreach side. And if we do step two, it's going to be automation and tracking. So automation and tracking, what do I mean by that? Every system's different. Let's go based on HubSpot. I mean, all systems are basically the same. It's you're measuring engagement, right? So if you're measuring engagement, they did something. What is it? Is it a click? Is it a visit? Is it a form? Like, what is it that they did, and what can you then automate for it? A simple thing that I did last week was we get people that come to the website, and we can track that because they're in our HubSpot system. We do email marketing to them. We do cold outreach on the phone. We do social stuff organically and paid. They come to the website, and they get put on a list, right? So that way we can organize it and say, who's been to the website this week, and what do we want to do with those people? And one issue that I found is that putting them on a list is not going to let the team know that we've got somebody that visited the website, and we should probably reach out and see if they need some help. Now, they didn't raise their hand and say, hey, I need help. They just went to the website, but we're tracking that. And so what we did was we put in some simple automation to say, if they visit the website, notify the contact owner through Slack, because we use Slack internally. Through Slack, create a task, schedule a task to follow up within the next 7 days, see if they need anything, see if they're looking to have a conversation. So we got them to the site, but we didn't have automation in place to make sure that the salespeople know it instantly and have a task to remind them, and then notify the rest of the team through a Slack channel. But looking at your automation, you have to say, what can I automate based on action? If somebody opens an email, what should happen? If they click an email, what should happen? You have to map all of this out and say clicks, opens, website visits, engagement, etc. When that happens, something else has to happen after that, so that way that person can be clearly identified. So they're looking for some sort of engagement, or they're going to do some sort of engagement. And then what are the steps that are going to happen after that? So they took some action. What type of steps can we automate? Maybe you can put them into a workflow, right? A list. You can put them into a list after that. I mean, you could do lots of things. The possibilities are endless. But the key is that you want to have all of that automated and trigger set up so that way you're not doing it like right when, like, or after the fact, after it happens, going back and be like, oh shoot, we just missed an opportunity with all these people that opened it. Now, there are some things with open rate, click rate, with Apple's privacy on their mail system and their phones, with spam systems opening, clicking stuff. So you got to kind of look at that a little bit closer. But with HubSpot, this is why I love it. And this is one of the things that sold me on it like 2-3 years ago when we started using it, was they have a scoring system. So all of this equals a score. And you have complete customization of the score. So if somebody clicks a link, if somebody visits your website, if they fill out a form, if they open it, you can assign a score to them, and then you can have automation based on the score to do something. Maybe you want to then make them an MQL, so a marketing qualified lead, based on their score. You can do it in a lot of other systems with clicks, visits, forms, opens, etc. But maybe you want to automate to an MQL. Maybe you want to automate to an SQL, depending on your definition of the two. Maybe you want to create a task. Create task. So, but the key is that you have all these triggers in place. Like if you want to put yourself in the shoes of the salesperson or in the shoes of the person visiting, they come to your website, they look at some information. There should be a difference between somebody that views one page versus somebody that views five pages. So once they do that, saying, what do we want to do with them? We spent all this time and attention, whether it's on our brand and they Google searched us and came to the website organically, tracking all that information, but they did something, you guys did something, you spent some sort of time and resources to get them to the site, but once they got there, what did you do with that information? That's where the automation comes in, that's where the tracking comes in, but if you're not tracking it properly, then your data is going to be garbage. So you want to make sure that from a tracking standpoint, right here, everything is on the website. Your website has to be integrated to track. You, when you're building out your forms, are you asking the question, how did you find us? Are you relying on what your system says? It came from the internet. It came from organic search. It came from social. I would say don't rely on that, because there can be some mistakes in the transfer of information from Google Analytics to feed into your CRM system. So just ask the question, how did you first hear about us? Once they answer that question on the form, then you can assign it as their original source in your automation or CRM system. And then that's when you can do a massive amount of processing with that information as possible. If you're a client of ours, if I've talked to you guys before, you know that I have no issue sharing my screen and showing people our systems and the way that we do things for our clients, because let's face it, like most people aren't going to do anything with it. But if you look at the tracking aspect and you have a graph that has the source, this is the source of the traffic, and you have all these different points, you can easily identify which areas are bringing in the most amount of opportunities for you. Maybe this is LinkedIn. Maybe this is your SEO side. Maybe this is YouTube. But you're easily able to figure out which sources are generating the most opportunities, the most traffic. It doesn't matter if they fill out a form, if they raise their hand, but if you're not tracking the information, then how can you possibly know where you should focus more attention on? So at our company, we track this, and even for all of our clients, as a marketer, I want to know, how did that person find us? How did they view our website? Why did they come here? What did they hear first? This is validation for the marketing effort that you're doing. So if you're spending a lot of time and energy on videos and you're posting them on social and you're getting good responses, it can't just be the vanity metrics of traffic. I want to know people that raised their hand and said, I want to talk to somebody. I want to know the people that spent 5 minutes on the website, viewed 8 pages, went deep into it. Where did they come from? Because once you know where they came from, now you can start to say, I want to funnel more attention in these areas based on the source, these areas of my marketing, because this is what's driving opportunities. So that's kind of step one, is you have to capture the source with the person that came in. Then when you look at the deals, so this is going to be some sort of traffic. Then you look at deals, or depending on your system, opportunities, deals and ops, and then where did those come from? So you've got all of your current deals and opportunities where it's just going to be this chart month after month, right? Here's the month and all these different points. But if you don't know where they came from, you don't know if it's working. If you don't track this, then you're not going to know, okay, I got 50 deals last month, 12 deals last month, and they came from these different areas, but how many of them closed and how many of them are still open? And this is where you can start to determine your close rate, win percentage, et cetera. But you want to look at it and say, if I'm not tracking this, then how could I possibly know the data of what's working? How could I possibly know, like, maybe LinkedIn brings you guys a lot of opportunities, but they never close. So it's just this vanity metric of, I put automation in place, I'm tracking the information, I'm looking back and reviewing it weekly, monthly, quarterly, and saying, like, this is where things are coming through. And I don't care if you've got a long sales cycle, you could have 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, as long as you're tracking the information, then you could do something with it. Maybe people that come from LinkedIn have a slower sales process. Maybe then you want to set up some automation and say, I want to send them more free stuff. I want to create a guide, a cheat sheet, a book, some sort of downloadable content, a video. You want to create something of value to send to those people to speed up the sales process. But all of that happens with the automation that you put in place. So you have to kind of sit down and strategize and say, what is all this stuff that I'm going to do? What are the possible different scenarios that I'm going to have in this? And then you're not going to think of everything. You're going to lay out a plan. You're going to push it out there. And then if you're tracking and measuring that effectiveness, then it's going to come up with new things that you're not thinking about based on your specific situation. But you have to have that foundational stuff in place first before you really get going. So that's automation and tracking. That's bucket number two. Now, I could spend hours. If you guys are interested in really learning HubSpot, put a comment in the comment section below with automation and HubSpot, even in Salesforce, and we will do a special private event where I'm going to share my screen with you guys and show you exactly how we set it up. So that's bucket two. Let's look at bucket three. Oh, sorry. We're still in bucket two. Man, see guys? That's why I need my team on this. Bucket two, the last one's going to be integrations. This whiteboard. Integrations. This is where you want to look at what else does it integrate with? What else does your system integrate with? If you've got a big one like HubSpot, Salesforce, things like that, Zoho even. I'm not a huge fan of Zoho CRM system, but they integrate with everybody. They're out there being like, dude, we'll integrate with anybody possible so we can get users. Look at the integrations that you have and think about how can I use the integrations to assist with efficiency, notifications, etc. Do you have a chat system in place? If you're using Microsoft, because most industrial manufacturing people are like, let's do a Teams meeting, which I personally hate most Microsoft systems. But does it integrate with Microsoft Teams? Can you get a notification through your Teams chat that somebody came to your site, somebody opened an email, somebody took action, somebody responded, somebody got put to a list, something's growing, you hit some sort of plateau in your traffic. You have to look at all of the different integrations with chat systems, with different CRMs, with systems that you're currently using in-house. For ERP people that are like, I want to track all my ERP stuff in my CRM, that's where HubSpot's Ops Pro comes in. You can connect the back end through APIs and through some coding, which we're doing almost every single week for clients. We're putting those systems in place so that way that information can flow freely back and forth, right? ERP system to CRM and vice versa. But you have to look at the integrations. This is where if you have Salesforce, it integrates with HubSpot pretty seamlessly, and there's some pretty powerful things you can do. If it's like, I can't, my system doesn't integrate with anything, then go to Zapier, right? Go to Zapier, Zapier. They integrate with everybody. It's a little bit longer of a process to map fields and stuff like that, but they pretty much integrate with everybody, so you can set things up. Maybe some, like, the only thing that is the worst at integrating is LinkedIn. The only people that do it the best is Microsoft Dynamics 365 because they own them. They have direct integration with it. It's the cleanest system out there. Now, LinkedIn does integrate pretty cleanly, the Sales Navigator, with Salesforce, because Salesforce is the biggest, but that's pretty much it. But you have to look at all the different channels. How can I make this efficient? What can it integrate? What tools or systems do I currently have? What new things? Do a productivity search to look at new systems out there. Go to G2 or Capterra or one of those sites and say, what's the best X, Y, and Z software for productivity, for messaging? And then pull those things out and look at the integration. Integrations are key because that helps with the automation side of things. As things happen in automation, ties into the integration, notifies you, creates tasks, puts things on your calendar, et cetera, et cetera. This is where you're pulling everything together to where it's like one big circle. And the last bucket, for real this time, the last bucket, is maybe the most important. Depends on who you ask. Now it's time to fill the funnel. This is where it gets interesting. So if this is your sales funnel and you've got customers at the end and you want to put new people in the top, you have to figure out where are you going to get those people from. And if you don't have a robust system in place to be able to have a strategy of where you're going to get them from, then there's no possible way that you're going to be able to hit that. If you're just relying on organic traffic, trade shows, like, oh, we'll wait, we're going to do a trade show in March, and once that happens, then we'll get some stuff. Or our website hasn't really been producing good leads for us, but we're going to wait until we do this, this, and that. You have to take time out of it and put something in place today that you can do to strictly and directly affect that. So one area is going to be new contacts, and where are you going to get them from? You can go to ZoomInfo. I love ZoomInfo. We spend a lot of money with ZoomInfo because it works. You have to also look at LinkedIn. Where am I going to get these new contacts in to put into my funnel? Because once they get in here, it gets choked down, and then in the end, you've got some customers. And if you know anything about the sales and marketing funnels, this is going to be the journey. So you get a new lead, cold contact from ZoomInfo, from LinkedIn. Maybe it's from a trade show. Maybe it's from an industry association. So you got new contacts. ZoomInfo, pull them in. They're cold contacts. You got to have that marketing automation platform set up and that cold contact funnel. LinkedIn people, maybe you're doing some outreach on LinkedIn. Maybe you're doing some automation on LinkedIn. Hush, hush. And building your network, engaging with people, and then you want to pull them into your funnel. Those would be more warm. But you have to focus on, how am I going to fill the top of this funnel with new contacts? What are all the different ways? Write them all down and then look at it and say, based on all of these different areas that I can get people from, what can I do with automation? What can I do with integrations to say, I want to take this group of people, move them into my funnel. Once they get there, they're going to go through one of my pillar campaigns. Once they're done with that campaign, what's going to happen? So people are great at saying, I've got a list from ZoomInfo. I pull them into the pipeline. I market them for 5 weeks or for 5 months. And then once that marketing is done, usually then for most marketers, it just stops. It's dead. Those people live in the system. They don't really go anywhere from there. You have to have some sort of connection at the end of that campaign to say they didn't buy. So as these people leave the funnel, the different stages, and you can have 5 stages in your pipeline, you can have 50. I like to keep it simple. But as people start exiting these stages before they become a customer, hopefully you've identified them, and then you need to put them in some sort of automation. So putting them in some sort of automation as they leave. Maybe it wasn't a fit right now. Maybe you got all the way through and you started talking about money, and then they said, you know what? You guys are too expensive. We found a better solution. That doesn't mean that you've lost them. And this is where automation comes in. So you move somebody from a deal stage, from quoted or sent quote or whatever your deal stage is, into closed lost. That does not mean that the deal is lost forever. That doesn't mean that they hate you. Having an automation in place to say, when they leave these different stages of the pipeline, I'm going to do something with them. Maybe they go into a long-term nurture campaign. Maybe they go into a campaign where it's coming directly from, or a workflow, directly from the salesperson that quoted it. And it's like, hey, Joe, it's been a few months, wanted to follow up. How did the solution end up going with that? The solution that you went with, how is it working out for you? Or thought of you the other day, we just created this guide, wanted to send it over to you to see if it could provide some value to you. It's like getting creative about ideas like that. Like, you spent time and energy getting people into the top of the funnel. So as they start, you know, squeezing out of the side before they become a customer, you got to do something with them. Right? You don't want to see your money just wasted. You need to do something with those contacts and say, I'm going to win them back. It's not a no, it's just not right now. Now, if you've completely unqualified them, let's say they talk to a salesperson and they get to the first stage of qualification and you're like, no, they are definitely not a fit. Definitely not a fit. You want to leave them in your CRM system and label them accordingly, so that way you don't go and pull them back in and do the whole process all over again. So like most automation systems, you're only paying for marketing contacts that you have, people you're going after regularly, just like with HubSpot. And so therefore you're going to say, I don't want to delete that person. I want to leave them in the system so that way I don't try and market to them again, but I'm going to clearly label and identify them that they are not a fit, they're not qualified. And usually something like that where you say they're definitely not qualified is like they have no need for your equipment, service, anything that you have. They're never going to be a customer. Label them accordingly. If you guys are liking these lives, we brought them back. It's been like 6 months, but we are back producing so much content. If you like them, hit that like, follow me on LinkedIn. Please go over to the YouTube channel, hit subscribe and turn on notifications. If you guys like listening to podcasts, I always forget to mention it, podcasts, search my name in every major podcast platform, Industrial Sales and Marketing with me. All of our main episodes with valuable content are pushed out onto a podcast. You can listen to it while you cut the grass or get your nails done. It don't matter. And we will see you on the next one.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you got value out of it, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with one person you know. And if you can, leave me a review because it really helps me out. If you want to check out my other content, go over to YouTube. I've got a channel over there, as well as find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook under my name, Kyle Milan. I will see you on the next one.